You can open up to Luke chapter 2, and we are in our Advent series. But we are also, we're going to be going through Luke for a long time, so we're going to be, I'm going to finish up our Advent series today, this morning. We'll do a little bit more Luke tonight, just briefly. The next Sunday, the 29th, Pastor John Dirks from Harvest Rockford, which is our planting church, is going to be here preaching. He's going to give me the Sunday off. And then the following Sunday, the first Sunday in January, we're going to be jumping right back into Luke, and we're going to be in Luke for a long time, Matt. You got me? You got me, Matt? Good. But we are in Luke chapter 2, and we're doing our last Advent, and we're talking about love, certain love. Now, in the last couple of weeks, we've talked about certain hope from the first week when we saw the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and Zechariah and providing hope, a hope that hadn't been there because, you know, God hadn't spoken to his people for like 400 years, and all of a sudden this angel shows up. And then we talk about joy in the second week when Mary and her Magnificante, when she was rejoicing after the Holy Spirit confirmed what the angel had already promised. And then last week we talked about faith. Zechariah was prophesying in the faith that he was producing. And this week we're talking about love, as we finally get to the birth of Jesus. But before we get there, you know, so last night I was at a wedding. I was doing a wedding in Rockford, and the couple had chosen the passage, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, you know, love does not envy, love does not do this, love, you know, that passage. We all know that passage, right, for the most part. You can go look it up later if you don't know it. But I was reading that passage, and I was kind of like, all right, what's a good opener? All I could think about was that dumb Hathaway song, "What is Love? Baby, Don't." Okay, that's why I was never hired as a worship pastor. I can never do that. But, you know, that was the first thought that came to my mind, was that dumb love song. But when you listen to that song, it does really kind of give you an understanding of what our world thinks of love. They don't really know what it is. And, you know, it's a guy trying to, you know, he wants to get together with this girl and he wants to love her, but then he's hurt by her, and it's all confusing. And that's true. I mean, our world doesn't understand love. And the only reason we do is because of Jesus. You know, and one of the best ways for us to really understand if somebody loves us is how far that person will give up of their personal comfort to care for you. How far that person will give up of their personal comfort to care for you. And we look at this story. You see, Jesus give up an awful lot to love on us. You see, Jesus shows us what love is when he becomes a humble servant. Jesus shows us what love is when he becomes a humble servant. Look at what Luke tells us as he's writing to Theophilus in chapter 2. He says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And when she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." You see, we see that Jesus is a humble servant first by his humble beginnings. By his humble beginnings. You know, a lot of times when people try to connect with us, and people want to care for us, or, you know, we share something with somebody and they want to kind of care. You know, if you start to talk to that person and you start to find out, well, you know, I come from maybe a poorer background or a harder background, and that person comes from a better place or a better this or a better that, or this person starts trying to give you advice, but they haven't gone through and experienced the same things that you have, or you know, well, that person wants to help you, but they really have no idea of what you've experienced. It's hard at times to be comforted by those people. It's hard at times to feel like, man, that person actually understands what I'm going through because they've never been through that. And a lot of times when we talk about leaders and rulers and people in authority, it's people who come because they've always been in authority. People who come because they've always had that way of life. People because they've, but not Jesus. You see, Jesus could have been born in a kingdom and in a castle. He could have been born among the royals like he should have, but he wasn't. Jesus came as a humble servant, a simple and common or even less than common way that Jesus was born, set up how Jesus would go about showing his love, his servant love. You know, Jesus was born, it tells us here, in Bethlehem. Now, that was prophesied. You write this down, you can go look at this later, but in Micah 5:2 is prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem from the smallest of tribes. But here in the first part of chapter 2, it shows us that Mary and Joseph didn't just go there because they knew this prophecy. God was even working in the rulers and governors to make sure Jesus was born in the exact right place. It says, in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration with Quirinius, who was the governor of Syria. And, you know, God was even moving at this time among the rulers to make sure Jesus was born in the exact right place at the exact right time. And so Joseph and Mary went up to Bethlehem because Joseph was from the line of David and David was from Bethlehem. So they had to go there to be registered with Joseph's family. And you can imagine at this time, Mary, this is, you know, that they were betrothed. They weren't even married yet, but she was already pregnant. She was already pregnant. And this is a pretty humbling experience for both Mary and Joseph. But not only that, when they get there, now I'm gonna shatter some worlds here. Probably not really. Most of you probably know this, but there really wasn't an inn. I'm just gonna tell you that right now. Okay, there really, you know, your nativity set, your story with the innkeeper, the Veggie Tales, they don't quite have it right. In fact, when they go to Jerusalem or when they go to Bethlehem, they would probably go to one of Joseph's family members' house. That word in there, if you look at your Bible, okay? Like, Jesse, why does this matter? Well, it matters because we have a lot of traditions. Like if you go look at our nativity set, it's just like everybody else's. It has a stable. It probably wasn't a stable. And, and they have the wise men. The wise men weren't there for a couple years yet, friends. Why? Because we want to make sure we know what the Bible says. That's why. Because that's what's in here. But if you look at the word in, okay, most of your Bibles will probably have a little number by it or a little thing right by it. Why? Because it could be another word. The word was really probably guest room. We get that because when they get later on in Luke and like in John and some of these, when they go to the upper room discourse with Jesus, where they go and celebrate the Passover in the upper room, it's the same word. It's the same word. And you see what would happen is when Mary and Joseph would go to their family's house, there was probably already other family members there. They were already in the guest room, and by the time they got there, they would stay in the common room down in the basement. Now, archaeology has kind of uncovered that this was a very normal practice for poorer families, families who were not well off, where they couldn't have a separate barn or stable or things like that. They would have a house with an upper room with a guest room and then a lower room where when the nights were cold, they would bring the animals in, or the lower servants who were staying in the house would sleep in that same room with the animals. And that's probably where they were staying. It says when they got there, while they were there, it wasn't like they just showed up and all of a sudden Mary's going into labor. Okay, I think Joseph probably took better care of Mary and they probably timed a little bit better to make sure they had a few days when they got there. But it says while they were there, a time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Why? Because it was this place where animals were. And this room was a room where they were, and it was a crowded house, and that's all that they had. And, you know, when you start to read this and you look at this story, you know, leading up to it, there's a lot of prophecy and a lot of detail given and a lot of information given. We're going to go later on and see other spots of Luke where Luke covers a lot. But when you get to Jesus' birth, it's just this short little section. It's a common birth in a poor family. And that's significant because it tells us how Jesus was coming down. Jesus wasn't coming as the King of Kings. That's coming later. That's the second coming. When Christ first came, he came as a humble servant. He was born into a humble family in a small town. When they showed up at the house, there wasn't any even room in the guest room, but they had to have their baby in the servants' quarters where animals lived. It really was just a poor family. Why? Because Jesus was setting up how he would minister. Jesus was a humble servant. Jesus didn't come and wasn't born in a royal palace. He was born in a common household. And, you know, that's important to us because a lot of times we feel like people can't relate to us. People haven't gone through the same problems that we've gone. Jesus has. Jesus came. He didn't come and just to rule over us and sit up in his throne and kind of stay back at arm's length and just move us around. He was born right into the center of the messiness. He was born right into the middle of a normal family. Because he, when it says, you know, Emmanuel, that song means Christ with us, God with us. He was coming right down into the middle. Because God wasn't coming as a God who was far off, but a God who was very near. And when we're talking about Christ's love, we have to understand that we are loved so much that Christ was born right in the midst of us. God himself gave up his godness, gave up his kingdom and his perfection to be born as a little baby, but not just born as a little baby, but born as a baby in a manger and in poverty to show us that he is a servant before he was a king. To show us that he was ready to deal with our messiness before he brought us into his kingdom. And there's kind of two things, you know, that we want to walk away with. And one, a lot of times we feel like we are unlovable. We've done too many things. Our life is too messy. We don't have everything neat and tidy. And if God would walk into our house right now, he'd be blown away by how ugly that house really is. Our spiritual walk isn't quite what it should be. And no, you see, even how Christ displays his birth, he was born right into the middle of it. You don't have to have things all tied up. God wants us to come to him with our brokenness, with our messiness. His birth shows us that. That shows us how much he really loves us and desires us. And he wants us to come with everything that we have. Say, God, this is it. This is all I have. But on the flip side of that, you know, if we claim to be followers of Jesus, if we claim to have experienced the love that Christ has shown us, we're called to enter into the messiness with everybody else as well. You know, a lot of times, you know, I claim that I'm a follower of Jesus, that I believe that Christ came and was born a little baby and he died on my behalf and I've experienced the love that God has. But man, there are times that I don't want to enter the messiness with other people. It's difficult. It's hard. But man, Christ came and was born on my behalf in the messiness of this world so that I could have everlasting life. And the more that I understand that, and the more that I understand how Christ was, came, or how Christ did come into the world, the more that it should draw me into stepping into the messiness with other people and allowing other Christians into the messiness of my own life so that we can walk alongside of one another, proclaiming the love of Jesus to one another as humble servants just like Jesus was. Because he displayed his love through a humble servant. He had humble beginnings. But then two, he celebrated with the lowly. He celebrated with the lowly. Now, you know, when we had Jaden, our first, okay, so last Sunday, I got dogged on this a couple times last week. Last Sunday, I told you she was born on November 12th, or 11th. She was actually born November 12th. She's corrected me multiple times throughout the week, telling me, Dad, I was born on the 12th. You got it wrong. Jaden, you were born on the 12th, okay? You got me? All right, so Jaden was born. She was our firstborn child. Now, when Ashley and I, you know, I wasn't pregnant. Ashley was pregnant. But when Ashley was pregnant with Jaden, we were super pumped about having a child. We were all excited to the point where now we have four more. But, you know, we were really excited, and she took forever to get here. And Ashley went into labor and was laboring for like 23 hours. And we were just waiting. And the whole time, I'm like updating the world. Okay, she's coming. You know, I'm updating my Twitter account or my Facebook account, or I'm texting people or giving, you know, all these different updates because I want people to celebrate with me. I'm having my firstborn child. Right? You remember that? No, you don't. But then finally, when Jaden finally came, you took forever. Did I tell you that? You took forever. When she finally came out, like, I was just ecstatic. And, you know, like, everything that I could possibly update, I updated because I wanted everybody to know my child was born. But first, I texted my family and my wife's family and allowed them to celebrate first with us. The first people I told, she's here, she's really small. How far, 5 pounds, how big you were? She's 5 pounds, you were tiny, and, you know, sent updates. And those were the first people that I wanted to celebrate with because those were my people. And then my 55 Twitter followers found out later on. But when Jesus comes, God wants to celebrate. God wants to let people know that his son is here. You know who he goes to? The shepherds. Verse 8, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And then the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of angels and of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." You see, the first people that God goes to, you know, when God finally sends Jesus to be born, and, you know, Mary is carrying this child, and finally on December 25th, we actually have no idea what day he was really born on. This is the day we chose. But whatever day this was, when he was born, God came and sent an angel to celebrate with shepherds. Let me tell you a little bit about shepherds, okay? Shepherds were one of the lowest classes of people. Because shepherds were those people who they would be gone for long periods of time because they would have to take the flocks from here to here to here, and they would stay with them to protect the sheep. And so they would be, you know, away from the normal people for extended periods of time. And because they were away from the normal people, their only friends were other shepherds. But not only that, but sheep stink. Have you ever been to a shepherd, or like not a shepherd farm, a sheep farm? They smell terrible. They don't take baths very often. And in that time, they didn't have hoses or anything like that. So they probably smelled even worse. And because shepherds stayed with the sheep all the time, shepherds stank because they smelled bad. But not only that, they had a bad reputation. There were a lot of shepherds because they were out at night and they would be kind of wandering with their sheep. And there were times when shepherds would, you know, people would come along and they would rob them. You know, not a lot of other people were out at night other than shepherds and bad guys. And so shepherds had a bad reputation of being thieves. In fact, kind of around this time, there's documentation, not from the Bible, but other historical documents that shepherds weren't able to give testimony or witness in court because of the reputation that they had. Okay? And so shepherds were like the lowest of lows. So one time I picked a job description that I thought would fit this, and I said this at a church, and then somebody came up to me afterwards, like, actually, I worked that job. I will never do that again. I'm not going to tell you what kind of job that would be now. That was a mistake. That was not loving on my part. So, but just imagine, okay, this was like the lowest of lows, and you know, nobody came to them. They only hung out with their own kind. You know, they weren't even, you know, they were only allowed to come in at different times throughout the year, and this is who God goes to. The first people that God celebrates with are the shepherds. He sends an angel on the glory. Can you imagine this? You're sitting around a campfire, you're watching all the sheep, and you're talking to your buddy over here while the other two guys are making sure the wolves are gone, and all of a sudden an angel shows up in God's glory. I think we'd be a little bit afraid. It says they were fell back with great, or they had a great fear. But the angel says, don't fear. I come with good news. That word good news actually is the same word as the gospel. I come gospeling to you. I come to bring you great news, good news of great joy. This will fill you. This will give you a joy that is better than the stupid football game or whatever you were watching yesterday, or the great joy that goes well beyond a hot. This is a, let me tell you about this great joy. That word great, okay, I'm trying to get, you know, like word great is a everlasting great. It's a great that has a lot more rock solid than our normal great. He says, for great joy for all people, for unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ. Now, he's kind of redundant there. Savior in Christ is a similar word. It's close to the same word. And but he's doing that because he's trying to show the shepherds, listen, this is the Messiah, that Savior. Okay, the word Savior. This is Messiah. But it's not just a Messiah that's from the Lord. It's the Messiah that is the Lord. The angel is giving the highest authority that can be possibly given to this little child being born in the basement of a house. He's saying the greatest, the Messiah that you have been longing for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years is here. And it's not just the Messiah, but it's the Messiah Lord, God himself, Emmanuel. This is verse 12, and a sign for you. Can you imagine? Okay, so these shepherds assume that they think that the Messiah is going to be like this big, bad leader who's going to come in and help them take out Rome and, you know, become a earthly kingdom again and be able to rule and things like that under King David. And so, you know, when this angel tells them there's going to be great joy and this Messiah that you're looking for and this Messiah, God, you know, so they're waiting for this description. Okay, what's this great sign that you're going to give us, angel? What's this great sign? A baby. But not just any baby, a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. The smallest types of babies. Because this is the type of baby that cannot do anything for itself. Okay, I've had a few of those in my day. But the baby in the swaddling clothes, there's nothing that it can do to take care of itself. It has to be fed, put to sleep, diaper changed. Like, it won't live without somebody else. It's a baby in lying in a manger? Lying in a manger? This is a poor baby? That's the sign you're giving me? Why? Because he's a humble servant. An angel tells them that there's a sign, and then suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, that multitude of heavenly hosts, that is an army of angels. That word literally means an entire group of an army of angels. Can you imagine? Again, because you're out there, it's dark, you're hanging out with your buddies, the two guys are out there watching for the wolves, and you're sitting around the campfire, and then the one angel shows up, and the glory of the Lord shows around you. And then he starts proclaiming these things of great joy, and they're trying to figure out what the sign means, and then all of a sudden, an army of angels. Whoa. To the shepherds. I mean, Jesus deserves this kind of celebration, but to the shepherds. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men whom he is well pleased. Jesus was bringing glory to God in heaven and peace to men on earth. And this is what the angels were celebrating. But man, you think about that, that's just nuts. Because this proclamation, this host of heavenly beings is exactly what Jesus deserved. God's son deserved a grand and royal entrance beyond anything we have ever seen. And the fact that the angels were there and the glory that is described can just by a little bit tell us the significance of this birth, but he sent it to the shepherd to proclaim the good news of Jesus, the great joy and the peace to the shepherds that nobody's going to listen to. You want to know the crazy thing? From this point forward, God uses the term shepherd for himself, for his leaders. Jesus uses it. The New Testament uses it. Why? Because God came to be a servant leader. God came to be a servant king. God wasn't, Jesus came and he is the King of Kings. And when he comes back in this second coming, he's going to come because he's going to be ruling on his throne. But before he ever got to that point, he was born into the messiness of this world. It came to the lowest of the lows. Jesus came to take our world and turn it on its head. He came to our world and to turn it on his head. You know, a lot of times we feel hurt or ostracized or lonely. We feel like our life is messy and smelly. A lot of times we think there's a lot better people that God wants to come celebrate with. There are a lot better people out there that God wants to sing his praises. God, my life is just a mess. I stink. God, you don't really want to rejoice with me. You don't really want my praise, Lord. But the first people he came to were the shepherds. The first people he came to rejoice with were the shepherds. When you look at our life, man, the older I get, the more broken I realize that I am. The longer I live this life, the more I realize I don't have it all together. What I was once so confident in about, I'm no longer confident in. And a lot of times it feels like, God, you don't want me, Lord. But he does. He does. God didn't come to save the proud, but the broken. God loves us best when we're on our face before the Lord and say, Lord, we have nothing else other than you. And just like the shepherds, he comes to rejoice with us at the birth of his son, even in our brokenness. Because Jesus came as a humble servant. He displayed his love best, even in how he was born. And again, you know, as we apply this to our own life, it also means, though, that then we come to celebrate with the broken and the lost. We come to celebrate with the smelly. You know, the people that God has called to lead, he calls shepherds. Shepherds. And if you are going to disciple and if you're going to go after people, we don't just, you know, a lot of times we think, well, we have to go after the strongest and the best. And if we convert that person, everybody else is going to be, no. God wants us to go after the broken, the humble. The ones who desperately need Jesus, because that's where Jesus met us. And lastly, it was a night for the ages. Look at how Luke wraps up this section. He says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. You know, when there's a famous birth, you know, when a celebrity has a child or somebody, you know, who is in power or whatever, you know, it gets put on the news. You know, people congratulate over Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and you know, there's a celebration and jubilation. And in these times, like if a king would have a child, you know, his kingdom would know about it. And a lot of times there'd be like a party thrown and, you know, in celebration over this birth. Well, it's about seven verses and the night's over. Jesus, God's son, is born to a family that's about poverty level. You know, the first people that God rejoices with is the shepherds. And then there's just a brief, man, let's go find this. Is this really true? Let's go find it. And they run and they go see and they find Mary and they see what you know, God has told them is true. And then they go and they just start telling people about it. And people wonder, that word wonder can kind of mean a few different things. And, you know, there are probably people who believed and really thought that this was Messiah. There are probably a lot of people that were skeptic because this was a bunch of shepherds telling this. And then it was over. That was it. That was Jesus' first night. God himself was born as a baby, and that was all that happened. May I tell you what, if I was somebody in power when we had Jaden, like I would want the entire world to celebrate what we did. But I just had a kid. You have no idea. Celebrate with me. But God didn't do that. He celebrated with the broken, with the needy, and that was it. Jesus came as a humble servant to live this life with us. He came to love and care for us, not from on high, but alongside of us. And he is Christ our King. When we go to heaven, we are going to his kingdom. But before he ever got to that place, he came down and came alongside of us first and lived our life for us perfectly. And I think Mary got it right. I think Mary got it right. It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I think that's a great response to this. You know, a lot of times we read this passage from the time where, you know, little, and we memorize it, and we put it in songs, and we, you know, see Charlie Brown get up with the little spotlight and just quietly read. I always want Charlie Brown, when he gets to the point of the angels, just to lose it and go nuts, but he doesn't. It always lets me down. But we've heard Charlie Brown read it a bunch of times, and, you know, that's a great thing, and, you know, yeah, Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and, yeah, God came and rejoiced through his angels with the shepherds, and, you know, but we don't really think about what happened that night. We don't really think about that Jesus really did come as a humble servant. That Jesus really did come born not as a God, but as a baby. And, you know, Advent is a season where we ponder these things. We take a moment and step back and just allow the work that God has done on our behalf just to settle in. Allow that truth to proclaim that, you know, that gospeling that the angels were doing to do to our heart. To allow God's faithfulness to grow, to God's joy to rejoice in us, to God's hope to fill us. So that we can get through this world proclaiming Jesus. Because he is coming back. He is coming back as king. And when he comes back, like I've been saying every Sunday morning, he's coming back to wipe away every tear. Every longing that we have will be filled. Every wrong thing will be made right. Every broken will be put back together. Why? Because Jesus came as a humble servant. So I just want to encourage you this week, take time to read this passage. And see the humble king that came down to serve us and to love us and just ponder these things. Allow it to grow in you so that when you are celebrating your Christmas traditions on Tuesday or Thursday or Wednesday with your family, you're celebrating Jesus. And then when you come across that broken coworker or that broken family member, you can get down on their level because you understand that Jesus has gotten down on our level. Because he is the humble servant that loves us. God, we come before you this morning. And God, we just thank you that we can be together. God, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you that you came down as a humble servant, Lord. And God, I pray that that fact wouldn't be lost on us this morning. God, we just pray that just like Mary, Lord, that we would take time this week just to ponder and God, just to put these things in our heart. God, that we would realize, Lord, that you came down out of heaven. God himself, Emmanuel, God with us, Lord. And God, that it would stir in us, God, giving us a desire and a longing for heaven because we understand, God, that you came down and met us in our messiness and saved us from that point. And because of the work of Christ, Lord, that we have a hope of all eternity. And God, I pray that in turn that would cause us to love others and God, not be afraid of getting into the messiness with other people, Lord. God, just help us understand your love. God, just help us to celebrate you this Christmas.